if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, or good ever time you are listening to us. Thank you very much for joining us. And those of you that are regular listeners will notice that I am not Coleman, I am not Dan, I am in fact not even a well Tim. I'm ill, but we'll come on to that in a moment. I have another ill guest with me, which I'll come on to in a moment again. And I have a fully, like, well person that's decided not to be ill just to... We could have had an all-ill show if it wasn't for that. But hey, whatever. Delighted to have joining me, I have Mr. Pac-Man Polar Bear.
What's going on, everybody?
With a cold as well, sir.
Yeah, so I'm ill Pac-Man Polar Bear with ill Timids. You know what? That I think we just found our new PSN names.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah, and I think you have a slight more excuse for having a cold, being that you're kind of in the cold.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that cold here at the moment for this time of year, is one of the things I'm getting at. And you're in Canada, surrounded by ice and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually the last weather's been weird here. Sometimes it doesn't snow till, like, Christmas, if maybe even not Christmas. But we've already got snow on the ground, it's already -6. And I'm like, damn.
Bit more of an excuse for having a cold. I've been in Canada when it's been cold for Canada, and that is cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think we've actually podcast together since E3, which was a nice delight. So it was very much good to have you back. And I believe we actually podcast in the same threesome, and introducing, as I said, Rick, who is fully well, without colds, No complaints, Rick, generally?
Well, I've got a lot of complaints, but I can breathe through my nose, so I'm not complaining. Also, hello, Big Red Barrelers. It's the trio. I'm bringing that back. We're doing it. We're making it a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remembered that from E3. I've got a good memory, you see.
We could be a new... Our new clan name could be Well Rick and the Two Ills.
That should be our hip-hop name.
We're going on tour.
We could be like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, we could be SoundCloud rappers. let's dye our hair rainbow colors and get the same word spelled incorrectly all over our face.
I'm gonna get my face tattooed right now with a bright pink barrel just to be different.
Yeah,
face tattoos sound like brilliant ideas, guys. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels and barrels. See, first hit.
Yeah,
put some auto tune on it.
I tell you what else is a great idea coming up right here. Great idea, gentlemen.
Go on.
What happens if you have so little to announce that it would be a good idea to hold a whole kind of press conference saying you got loads of things coming out and then not really say very much?
Well, you turn it into a 2-hour advert for Game Pass, obviously.
Wait. I'm trying to. Are we talking about Blizzard? Are we talking about Microsoft? Bazing!
Well, we kind of touched on Blizzard a little bit last week.
Yeah, I know. It's just like one week, one big company just like trips and falls and smacks their face, and then the next week, you know, company's like, hey, we only tripped, we didn't smack our face, we're better, right?
Well, just picking up from that a little bit as well, and kind of leading on from the discussion that we had last week, the one point of conversation that I would have brought to the conversation had I been on last week's show was just the fact that I did hear there were some rumors that there was supposed to be another bigger, perhaps even Diablo-based announcement that they then decided to delay at the last minute, and that's why this all came out in the way that it did, kind of thing, which would explain a lot of things, possibly.
So there was supposed to be something after Diablo Mobile.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be, like, the main thing, and then they had to shift it to the main thing because the main thing they decided not to announce at that time, basically.
That's so dumb. Like, even if they would have just put up a JPEG of the Diablo 4 logo in progress, you know, like what Bethesda did. I said on my own show, if they would have just done it how Bethesda announced their mobile game, wouldn't have been a problem, but that was last week.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I said, moving on from that, though, this week we had, and this is more what I was kind of alluding to, was the fact that Xbox had their XO18 in a very kind of excitable Mexico City, although it did sound kind of seem that people were kind of pumping up the crowd to get them excited and stuff like that. They seem to be slightly, oddly, overly excited at some things. And
I've never seen people cheer that loud for Final Fantasy.
Oh, and just like announcements of things that we'd kind of already seen and stuff like that. But anyway, that was something that was talked about a lot on social media and stuff. I don't think that's something that is unique to this event. You know what I mean? It may have been something that was more easily seen on camera, but it's definitely something that I've seen at E3 shows and stuff like that. So I don't think it's something that's the worst thing in the world to be doing, kind of thing. You know, it's not the worst. But there were some bits of news. I think the main things to come out of it was the fact that they actually gave a date to Crackdown 3, and they showed off the multiplayer for Crackdown, which we hadn't really seen before, a mode called Wrecking Zone. But what do you guys think? I thought it looked good and fun, but it almost looked like a stripped-down version of what I was expecting at kind of this stage with that game, no?
The thing is, I mean, we've been waiting for Crackdown 3 for basically this entire console generation from Microsoft at this point. And I mean, I'm excited for it because their last two sort of heavy hitters sort of landed with a thud, because I don't play zombie games and Sea of Thieves is terrible. So Crackdown 3 is got to come in and sort of turn some heads and change some minds in terms of first party Microsoft centric releases. But and I hate to use AAA as a term to sort of describe quality, because AAA doesn't mean really equates quality.
I use it as budget, to be honest. Now,
yeah, we're basically talking budget, but just in terms of presentation and what we've actually seen gameplay wise and trailer wise and everything else, it almost looks like Crackdown 3 isn't being pushed as a AAA release. It seems like it's being pushed as sort of, I guess, what we call like a mid-tier release, like
a double A.
Yeah, like like double A. Like it's certainly not indie or, you know, low budget, but it's not them trying to reach the ceiling either.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it because I really enjoyed Crackdown 1 and 2, and I think Crackdown 1 just recently got back onto backwards compatibility.
But see, Crackdown 1 was a really good game in the moment at that time. Crackdown 2, I don't think, quite lived up to that height, and I think that it's an even harder thing to make a game that's a spiritual, you know, even just a spiritual successor, but a successor to Crackdown, and moves it on in a modern wave sort of thing. In so much as I think it would be a hard thing right now to release another Infamous game on the back of Spider-Man. And I think Crackdown's in a harder position releasing after Red Dead and Spider-Man.
The other thing is, a big part of the Crackdown push is the whole, you know, destruction and being able to do whatever you want in the world and having all sorts of neat abilities. And I'm like, so I could just play Just Cause.
Yeah.
But you can't play that 5-on-5 in a little arena and blow out a walking bridge, can you? With your mates? No.
Well, you can on PC.
Well, I've been told.
But you see, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't see what this game is doing over and above other games around. Like, it's got the building destruction, and I'm sure that's going to add a fun element to things. I didn't see anything from the multiplayer that made me want to rush out and definitely buy this game type thing. I mean, like,
I'll tell you what it's doing, Tim, that other games aren't doing, and that is Terry Crews.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is probably the biggest selling point.
But I think that might be one of the reasons for one of the biggest delays. I reckon there was a point in time where Terry Crews was hardly in the game. Like, they used him as a piece of marketing stuff, and everyone went, oh, how much Terry Crews is in the game? And they went, in the game? Hold on a second, we'll get back to you on that question. can we get Terry Crews for the game? Can we get him in? How long will that take?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, like, I seriously think that might be anything. This game has had such a hard, long kind of back to the drawing board kind of troubled development cycle that...
Well, they've been trying to work the engine out, haven't they, for ages.
I can see how they're going to come out with a fun game, and they've probably delayed it to the point. I don't see how it's going to be a great game that's going to be that head turner that you're talking about, basically.
At this point in the console lifespan, like, I got an X, like an Xbox One X, and I literally just look at it as I play all the single player third party titles on the Xbox One X because it has, it's the best visual. So, you know, games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Tomb Raider, both primarily single player games, you know, so I don't really, so, and they look the best and run the best on X. So I play those there. But when it comes to anything that's, you know, that's multiplayer, I play on PlayStation or PC, because on PlayStation, it just has more of my friends have a PlayStation 4 at this point, and the player population is larger, and PC looks better and has more players.
Yeah, but that's pretty much the reversal of your position from the last generation, no?
Almost entirely. I mean, there's no question that 360 was the place to play multiplayer games last gen, and PlayStation 3 was the place to play most of the single-player games. Although, you know, for the first 75% of the PlayStation 3's lifespan, even third-party first-person games didn't run that great on PlayStation 3. You know, like, I still remember trying to play Bayonetta on the PlayStation 3, and oh my god. But, I mean, that's basically what it is like, I play certain types of games on Xbox One X because it looks the best there, but everything else goes to PlayStation 4 and a few things go to PC. I don't really, and this is a Game Pass game, so it'll be, you know, day one, it'll be available through the Game Pass. So
yeah, and look, as you said, it did almost, the whole event kind of went for a whole like 2 hours or so, and it did seem a bit like a 2-hour advert for Game Pass. I mean, they got to keep on strapping on the reasons for doing that, and they're twisting my arm a little bit. I haven't actually picked up. I've got kind of access to some stuff through Coleman's account being on my console at the moment, basically. But yeah, like I still might pick it up at some point.
Game Pass is it's a good deal. I mean, it's certainly better than PlayStation's offering.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, if I picked up an Xbox, I'd get Game Pass day one and save a ton of money on games. It's a fantastic deal.
Right, but it's either that or I cancel my Xbox Live at the moment, basically. And it's the question of which way I go with it, basically. But anyway, right, cracking on a little bit with some of the headlines that came out of the event as well. Microsoft also did announce, and this one's a bit more for the future possibly, but they acquired Obsidian Entertainment and In Exile Entertainment. I think we discussed on the podcast previously the rumor that they were buying Obsidian and possibly even In Exile as well. Two studios that I can see producing games that will, you know, not necessarily be massive, like, you know, crowd-pleasing people that will pull everyone over, but games that will add to the library of what they have, and if they're going to be exclusive on the console, then that, you know, adds to what they do, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, both those companies are, so, at least their last sort of 3 or 4 releases, both have been, you know, really high quality mid-tier releases and when I say mid-tier, I mean mid-budget releases. I mean Obsidian has such a troubled history with Microsoft that even though I knew it was likely, I was like, man, are they really gonna get married again, like, after all the stuff that's gone down in the past? But I mean, I love both these developers. Obsidian recently made the Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, which are fantastic hardcore callbacks to the isometric RPGs of the past. So, like, Pillars of Eternity 1 and 2, Tyranny, and recently Pathfinder. I loved all of those games to death.
Yeah, yeah, you're really into those, aren't you? I know you like those quite a lot. But did Obsidian have some hand in the South Park RPG? I've seen various different
Stick
things
of Truth
on that. Yeah, yeah, they did. Yeah, I thought they had, because it went to Ubisoft eventually, but I don't know how involved they were along the way.
I think Obsidian made it, and Ubisoft
published it. Yeah?
Published it
eventually. I don't know why that happened that way, but yeah, I think that might be the case. But yeah, like I happen to just really like the South Park RPG. I thought both of them. I thought they were both really well done. So
yeah.
Now, I have really mixed feelings on this, because I'm not a PC gamer or an Xbox gamer. I've got nothing against Xbox. If I had the money, I'd get one, but my PC is used for podcasting and editing.
Mm-mm.
Pillars of Eternity is one of my favourite games of last year, and that's the PS4 version, which was broken, and I'm really looking forward to Pillars of Eternity 2. I'm worried that this deal is going to stop that from coming out. And if it now means that if I do want to play more Obsidian games, I'm going to need to invest in... It's going to be the next Xbox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or upgrade my PC to godlike capabilities to be able to play games. And it's good that Obsidian are coming... I don't want to say out of indie because that makes indie sound bad, but it's nice that it's got the backing of Microsoft. But like Pac-Man said, their history is so complicated that it's very strange that it's them that Obsidian have sided with in this.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for Obsidian because I think as a developer, they are fantastic. And I love the games that they've been making in recent years. Well, I just love the games that they've been making since the beginning, to be honest. And it's nice that they now have the support of a huge hitter like Microsoft. And maybe the Microsoft of today is very different to the Microsoft from yesterday. But I think from someone who doesn't play Xbox personally at the moment, it's cutting fans out, if you know what I mean.
They do seem... I mean, Microsoft's big push has been a Game Pass and two, cross-platform play. You can play it on Xbox or you can play it on PC. And they've shown, finally, after years of saying they would, they've shown some real interest in catering to the PC market. So I suspect, if anything, they're trying to set both these developers up to be... something that'll round out their Game Pass offering for certain things. And I suspect both of them will remain PC and Xbox releases and maybe even, be able to swap save files and everything else. The one I'm really surprised about is In Exile, because I didn't really see that coming because, like, they seem very hardcore PC developer, but I know from reading some of the posts and hearing about how the development from both of them went that Kickstarter has been good to them, but Kickstarter leaves you very little wiggle room, and you make a lot of promises up front, and you have to make the money you made work to get that done. And I'm sure this takes some pressure off them. But Wasteland 2 and Wasteland 3, which are the original Wasteland game way back in the day, is what was the inspiration for the Fallout game. So the pedigree goes back really, really long. And Wasteland 2, once it got the definitive edition sort of overhaul, is a wonderful game. And I can't wait for Wasteland 3. But just knowing the history of beloved developers getting bought by a larger publisher or console maker, you can't help but feel nervous, right? And you wonder, does that mean that they're going to move, now that they have the budget, is Obsidian going to go back to making third-person, large-scale AAA games? Or are they going to keep making isometric top-down RPGs? Like, what are they going to make?
What I'm hoping from this is one of the major complaints that people have for Xbox is a lack of RPGs. So by cementing these two studios, and during the EXO conference, they were saying, oh, now we can make bigger RPGs, we can do this. So it does sound like they are going to be RPG focused on a system that's lacking that genre of game.
Yeah, but what kind of RPGs are they going to make? Because I love top down isometric games, right?
Give me Pillars 3, man. I'll buy an Xbox for that.
We will have to see in the fullness of time. But the one thing I can see this giving Microsoft is a good platform to being able to offer a lot of developers the, not only are you publishing on our console platform, but you're free to publish on PC as well. And that's something that maybe Sony won't be as willing to offer as well, people. So that'll be interesting to see how that shapes out. Let's just rattle through a couple of the other headlines from the event as well. Keyboard and mouse support are coming, which is something that a lot of people have been asking for a while. And Xbox kind of always said they wouldn't do. So this one that kind of... giving, I don't know, but this does seem that Warframe and Fortnite will be two of the first games. It does look like Fortnite again being one of the games that pushes things forward, but we'll see.
I love the fact as well, just a little addition to that, that if you have a keyboard and mouse attached, it will put you in matches with players using keyboard and mouse. So that's fantastic.
Although, as a lot of people have pointed out already, that will be the first thing that will be hacked to get round. We'll see. Also, Sea of Thieves getting a new PvP mode. As you alluded to earlier,
I still haven't played it. Anyway.
I keep on waiting to hear from people until it gets enough content to actually bother playing through. We'll see. But anyway, that may never happen. May never reach that critical mass point.
It's bad. It's bad.
Forza Horizon 4 Fortune Island DLC was announced. Pretty good, because the Forza Horizon DLC last time around was... really quite high quality from all reports. I didn't actually pick up any myself, but there was some like the Hot Wheels stuff that I really wanted to. It looked good, like interesting, all good. We'll go from there. We'll see how that works out. Cats and pandas are coming to Minecraft in the near future, for anyone that cares. Anyone?
No.
No. Winnie the Pooh will be in Kingdom Hearts 3. Now, I think you two care about this a hell of a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of a, you can bleep this out, Carmen. That's like a no sh- moment. Winnie the Pooh's been a big hitter in the big ones. Like, Hundred Acre Wood is such a massive part of those games.
Could have kept that PG, just go no poo.
I'm jazzed for it because, especially with the movie and everything else coming out, like, Winnie the Pooh's back in the sort of limelight again.
Yeah, like, I this was one of those, like, look, I'm less in contact with the game and less interested, basically, but I haven't really seen all the announcements. But when they announced, I was like, that was an announcement? Okay, right, fine, good. Like, it was kind of a bit of a nothing, but...
The thing that looks really nice in it is that they've changed how the games play in 100 Acre Wood, and now it looks like they're going to be puzzle games, which is going to be a nice little pace break. I mean, 100 Acre Wood's always been a nice little break of pace during the Kingdom Hearts games, but this looks like it's going to be more fun than tedious.
But that did get a really big cheer from the crowd, and it was like, what? Hey?
Really? I like how they stepped around the fact that, I mean, Kingdom Hearts fans are crazy because the games themselves are just nonsensical madness put into a video game. But I like how they stepped aside from the whole, yeah, the English voice acting that we've used is just record-breakingly terrible. It's just so bad. But I love Winnie the Pooh. He's a big hit in my family.
How good is Kingdom Hearts 3 looking, though? Let's be real.
It does. You know what? Like, every time a new Kingdom Hearts game comes out, I'm like, all right, I'm done. This game has gotten so weird. I'm just not going to play it anymore. You know, because especially everything between 2 and now has been like 2, blah, 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 remix, dub, blah, blah. Like, just these, like some of the titles attached to the end of Kingdom Hearts for the last, like, 6 years have been so ridiculous.
They sound like weird math equations, don't they?
They really,
like,
they really
math
do.
Problems.
But the game looks so good. But I hope either they fix the English dub is going to be replaced, or it gives me the option to just leave the Japanese the Japanese audio in and just use subtitles.
What I'd love is a Japanese dub on Sora.
Yeah.
And English for everybody else for when they're using the proper actors. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Just in general, especially for a lot of, you know, hardcore Japanese games, I even if I'm not going to use it, I like to have the option to switch between the, you know, the English dubbed audio or the Japanese source audio, because sometimes it just fits better. Like, I never get upset that Yakuza is just pure Japanese voice actors, just because I remember what Yakuza, I think it was Yakuza 1 or 2, actually had an English dub.
It was the first one, had Mark Hamill in it.
Yeah, and it was super jarring.
Now, there's one bit of this that I must have glossed over. I was kind of catching up on this at work and stuff. I didn't really see exactly what was going on with it. The new game Void Bastards, apparently, was announced. I missed this one, or I didn't see it. I have no clue what it's about. But Void Bastards, been announced.
It's by BioShock people, and it's really nice looking, cell shaded, first person shooty thing.
Okay, no, yeah, that did actually look good. I forgot. I completely forgot what it was called or anything about it until you said the BioShock dev, which apparently there's about 500 studios claiming to be ex-BioShock devs, which could be entirely accurate, but it just seems to be the case. There's about, 500 different indie studios at the moment with ex-BioShock devs making games and putting that on their thing and making it more. But yeah, that was the kind of cell shaded kind of shoot 'em up type thing, no?
Yeah, the in space with the weird robots and stuff.
It looked all right. I liked the look of it. Right, yeah, and as we said, there was a big push for Xbox Game Pass on the evening and throughout the thing, and one of the big announcements for that was some of the games coming to it. One of the bigger ones, which was PUBG.
Which is not surprising at all.
No, not surprising at all. And that's the thing, like, a lot of their news fell a bit flat. Like, I thought it was, like, presented fine. Like I quite like a number of the people that were actually presenting it. They're all quite nice people, and I think did a fine job of presenting the information that was there. I just don't think there was anything really worth having this kind of event for.
And no, it could have been you know, a new commercial for Crackdown 3 would have done the same thing. A public tweet saying that they bought Obsidian in Exile would have been a thing, and a blog update post about keyboard and mouse support, and that's literally their entire conference right there. And the rest of it is just stuff you would see in trailers. You know,
and those trailers could have been shown at the Game Awards.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other things I was going to say. Like, the Video Game Awards is coming up. There's one thing I didn't actually put in the show agenda, actually. They announced some of the stuff for that, but we'll come on to that when the actual show's been done rather than the nominations are going through. But yeah, like, it does seem that maybe that's the reason that Sony aren't doing a conference this year, and maybe that's the reason why this was quite so light on that sort of information, that a lot of stuff maybe is being saved for the Video Game Awards. It does seem that they're saying that they've got like even more to announce than normal, and they had quite a lot last year. So, yeah, be interesting to see what comes out of that. It wasn't particularly interesting seeing what came out of Mexico. It was, as I said, well-presented event and all that type of stuff, just not very much exciting information coming out of it, unfortunately. So, moving on, that was our kind of main bit of news for the week. We do have a few other little bits of headlines to rattle through as well, but then we've got quite a few games to talk about this week, so I'm eager to get onto that as well. So, yeah, talking of PUBG, as we were just a moment ago, PUBG has also been officially announced for PlayStation 4.
Whoop whoop!
Great. Fortnite's free.
Includes a Nathan Drake outfit and an Ellie backpack. Brilliant. Releases December 7th for anyone that cares more than us three, because I don't think we care particularly much. Although, Pac-Man, will you be playing?
Well, no, I already own it on PC and Xbox.
Yeah, so like everyone else. So, yeah, okay, well, there you go. But speaking of PS4s, PS4 did announce this week, it just hit its fifth birthday, so the slightly odd number, but I guess it's to coincide with the birthday. Fifth isn't a odd number, by the way. I'm not saying five is an odd number. That's fine, although it is technically. But 86.1
what
million.
What are you on about?
I'm rallying. I'm.
He's going crazy.
Is that cold medicine gone to your head, mate?
Yes, it has. Right, but what I was trying to get to was there has been 86.1 million PS4 consoles sold in its 5 years of life, basically. So there you go. And that's quite an impressive number, generally, even though it's an odd number.
Square Enix had deemed that a failure.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that was some good news. In other good news, Marvel Spider-Man has announced details of the Turf War DLC that will be out on the 20th of November. They do seem to be hitting those dates quite accurately. They're doing quite well.
How good do those costumes look?
Costumes look so good. The three suits that were detailed are the Spider Armor Mark 1, the Spider Clan, which I'm a bit less familiar with, and the Spider Armor. Iron Spider Armor, rather.
Yeah.
Oh, but they look so good.
Everyone was disappointed with the last three, but I quite liked having the Union Jack Spider-Man thing, the British Spider-Man. That's cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
For me. My only complaint is I don't like the way Hammerhead looks.
No.
Really, a lot of people were going on about it being great. I was indifferent to it. I think he looked okay.
Hammerhead looks how I'd imagine Jigsaw would look.
But there is a little clue to my bigger problem with this. I was really hoping with the name Turf Wars, and it's still not entirely ruled out at this stage, but I was really hoping we'd get a cameo from the Punisher.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it might turn out, like, we're in his neighborhood, like, and he often, you know, well, he originally appeared in Spider-Man, so, yeah, I would have liked to have seen an appearance from him. Still crossing my fingers it might be the case. Like, how could it cool would a succession of missions be where you have to stop the Punisher from assassinating someone on the other side of town, kind of thing?
That'd be awesome.
Easily done and would be good.
How good is Marvel Spider-Man that, I mean, the DLC has been nice and none of it's been spectacular or anything, but we're all playing it. We're all playing it just because I just want to play more Spider-Man. Like, it's so good. Like, I love the amount of people on my, like, on my Twitter and Facebook and everything feed, or like, I don't, they all write the same thing. I don't usually platinum games, but I willingly platinum named this. Like everyone wrote that tweet.
Spider-Man on the PS4 is the first and only game I've platinumed.
Nice.
Just loved it that much. I wanted to get everything out of it. And then I bought the season pass, which I've never done before. I've never bought a season pass. Or usually for DLC, I'm like, I'm good.
Well, the DLC for games usually comes so far after the game, and you know, 90% of DLC is usually just trash filler that should have been in the game, right? Like, it's rare that you get anything that you want to play. But I mean, Marvel Spider-Man, like, even just adding new costumes, people are like, yeah, I paid money for that.
Just the fact that it's giving me an excuse every month for 3 months after finishing it to go back and play it for 4 or 5 hours, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with that.
And really well done. But I could talk about Spidey all day because I really do love it. We'll have to move on a little bit, though. Yeah, we'll have to do a spoiler cast when all the DLC's out and everything else, maybe.
Oh, I want to be on that.
Maybe the three of us. Anyway, right. Overwatch announced another new character, Ashe, now available. That's all the news you'll get from this show. Go to GeekSpeak for more detailed information, unless Pac-Man wants to say anything. I don't know how much Overwatch you say.
No. GeekSpeak is going to say everything I need to say. I'll just say that I think Ashe is awesome.
Okay, that is good. You've been playing with her then, or?
Phrasing. Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
I've been typing Rule 34 into Google with her name. Yeah, I've been doing that. She's great. I mean, I'm too much of a scattershot gamer. I'm playing too many things to get dedicated in Overwatch, because you got to put time in it to be good. And I go in once or twice a month and just to play the new character as it comes out, and then I get tired of dying, and I'm like, oh, I'm not good at this game anymore, and I'm going home.
But yeah, a couple of quick rumors, though. We've got Valve rumored to be working on a new VR headset. And it seems to have been confirmed by Valve that these are, a real thing, possibly, as well. That still hasn't been officially announced, as far as I've seen. But they don't seem to be denying that they are a Valve VR headset, basically. From the pictures,
so that could be
seen.
As real as Half-Life 3 then, couldn't it, to be fair?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To be fair, it makes sense for them to try to get into the VR space.
The rumor is with that as well, and I don't know if this is just wishful thinking once again, but the rumor is that will come hand in hand with the latest version of Half-Life, basically, or a new Half-Life game based on that. Like, I don't know if that's true. Remains to be seen. It may be Half-Life 3. You didn't hear that from me. But anyway, right, and yeah, what's this one? There was a huge Call of Duty Black Ops 4 leak thing.
Yep.
For zombies Easter eggs, for all the zombie Easter eggs that everyone was trying to work out. Yeah, well, hey.
Yeah.
Don't let the internet spoil the games for you, eh?
I do find it hilarious that it's an alleged angry ex-QA who's just come out and gone, here's all the secrets. Because I've wanted to do that, but I never did, because I'm a good boy who's afraid of being sued.
As you should be, possibly, or not. As I said, we've got quite a few games to get through this week. We have played quite a few things. I've been a bit ill, but I've still managed to cram in a couple of games to my week, fortunately. The one I want to talk about first is one that I believe Mr. Pac-Man has also been playing, which is Hitman 2.
Yes!
Now, I believe you're in a different position to me, Mr. Pac-Man. I believe you played and I'm going to say first game, but I mean the previous game of Hitman. It gets very confusing when they, you know, rebranded it Hitman, relaunched it, and yeah. But previous game, last game that this is a sequel to, but also kind of includes as well.
Yeah. It's a little messy.
Yeah. I will preface any of my comments with a couple of qualifiers. Just let it be known that I basically got a review copy of the game. And I also attended a press event last week for the launch of the game, which you can see photos and stuff of on my Twitter and Instagram. Just for the record, got a very funny boomerang clip thing of a guy dressed as Agent 47 chasing me in one direction with the kind of wire, and then me chasing him in the other direction with a baseball bat. I had quite good fun with them.
Was it a guy in cosplay, or was it just an angry bold man?
It was a guy in Hitman cosplay type thing, or dressed up as him, basically. But yeah.
That's cool. I'm jealous.
It's up on my Twitter feed. You can have a look. It was quite funny. And yeah, basically we were in a Hawaiian themed club and we had to dress Hawaiian, like I had a Hawaiian shirt under a suit kind of thing, and with a Hitman tie. But yeah, it was a good fun evening. On to the actual game itself. I got to mess around a bit with the game on the night, and then I've played a bit subsequently since. Now, as I said, Pac-Man, you played the first game and played that all the way through?
Yes, sir. Twice. I did it on PC and on PlayStation.
Nice. So you did it episodically, basically. You kind of went through as it came out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it came out, a lot of us were worried about because the first one was released in episodes, so each episode was basically a new level, and we were worried that like, oh, is that going to work for them? You know, how good is it actually going to be? Is it going to drop the quality? Are people actually going to stick around long enough to play each episode?
And there was a lot of people, and I think the majority of people were very much in your camp and saying, you know, very similar things, voicing very similar concerns. Well, I was one of the only people I know that was very vocal in defending their decision to go that way, and then was part of the problem in the fact that I just never picked the game up. I think I was reviewing something at the time that the first episode came out, and then just never quite knew when to pick it up kind of thing. I mean, I just never got around to it. But I really love the Hitman series. Like, it's one that I've always had fun with. And I actually think, and anyone that's in a similar position to me, this is an even better package for you because it does include all of the first game practically as well, with like remix content on it as well.
Yeah, it's really, and you gotta think, like, the Hitman series is almost 20 years old at this point. So it's been around for, you know, some. I mean, there's some people playing Hitman 2 weren't alive when the series started, right? You know, like I was, you know, this is, you know, I was at the end of high school, I think, when the first one came out, like the very first one back. I think 2002, 2001 is when the original Hitman came out.
The original Hitman 1.
Yeah. But that episodic content plan and everything else, like the first Hitman was a hit. It maybe not as big a hit as Square Enix wanted it to be, but it was a hit. People stuck around month after month, and they had, you know, sort of weekly and monthly events and everything else. Like the first one was the 2016 Hitman was really, really, really good.
From what I could gather from you know, the feedback of the sales and everything else, it seemed to be that it had a good amount of stickiness in terms of the people that bought it, played it, and played it quite, you know, religiously, and got hooked by the content. But there just wasn't that many people that were attracted to it in the first place, I think, is part of the problem, right?
I think...
Or as many as they'd like.
Despite being an episodic, a lot of people followed it through and bought it month to month as stuff came out. But a lot of people, I think, were in the position of, well, I'm just going to wait till all the episodes are out to buy it. And by the time all those episodes came out, some of those people did get around to buying it. But a lot of people had already left their memory. So by the time it was fully released, they just never got around to it.
Well, also, I kind of did the same thing of, oh, I'll pick it up when it all comes out. And then for me, that wasn't you know, more of a problem in my kind of world. It wasn't newsworthy almost kind of thing. So it didn't get into my cycle as easily kind of something to play. I mean, that's, as I said, a unique problem, or not unique, but
it's such a great value though, because the whole, you know, there's a campaign and a story to follow and everything else and main objectives to go through, but each individual level is basically just a big playground, right? So the amount of replayability within each individual level, and the levels are massive, sprawling, complex little things full of things you can do, so it's you know, you don't, you beat the story and then you go back and you chase objectives and you chase all this other stuff. And it's just really fun to go around and just mess around with.
Well, see, that's one of the things. It's one of those games where I think some of the best gaming moments within playing in those levels are often the failures that you have, not the successes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, that guy see me. All right, you're going over the balcony. You're going in there. I'm going to stab you and throw... Like, it just all goes to pot. And you're like, okay, like, kind of throw your toys out the pram as a, like, moody assassin. And then kind of everyone around you dies all of a sudden. But, like, you can... like, you can kind of get out of slightly sticky situations and disguise yourself to get lost in crowds and all that type of stuff. But generally speaking, if something goes wrong, you probably want to reset the level. But I don't know about you, I kind of approach it in the, right, this is going to be the messy approach that I'm going for here. I'll learn my way around the level, I'll do things, and I'll try and actually kill the targets, but I won't do it in an elegant way, and then I'll go back and do it a second time and try and do it the best, you know, sneaky way that I've found on that playthrough kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're with Hitman 2, you can go back and play, like, especially if you already own Hitman 1 on the system you're playing on, you got Hitman 2, you can get the Legacy Pack, which gives you a bunch of stuff. And of course, you gain access to playing the original, I think it's 6 or 7 levels. And because the story of Hitman 2 basically picks up right where Hitman 1 left off, you can go back and sort of replay the whole system. And if you play the Hitman 1's levels within Hitman 2, they benefit from all of the technological improvements. So the, you know, crowd AI is better, lighting effects. But their engine and tool set that they use to make this game is really good. I mean, it
looks fantastic.
It's a really beautiful game, and for the amount of options you have, the bugs aren't too bad.
Yeah, I've seen a couple.
They're not
bad
at all.
I've seen a couple of them, but usually they're pretty funny. Like,
yeah.
There was one dude that he kind of saw me like hiding behind a door. So I ended up punching him through the door, and in doing so, he hit the ceiling in the room that I was in, and I was like, "What? What happened there?" That was a bit weird, but like, it didn't break the game, and it was actually on one of those, as I said, stupid runs where things had gone wrong anyway, kind of thing. So it wasn't like I didn't care that much. But yeah, like you say, considering the amount of options you have and the different like way things can interact, like there's a. I've only played the first like few levels because I've replayed them quite a few times, but that second level is kind of on a racetrack type thing. There's a big, you know, not quite F1, but I'm not sure what type of racing it is, but kind of stock car type racing type stuff, but like really like supercar kind of level. And yeah, you've got to assassinate one of the people who's one of the drivers and her dad, who is kind of in and around the paddocks. And just the different ways you can go and interact with that environment, and like the different time periods in which you've got to kind of, get in and get stuff done to kind of get out. Yeah, it's, as you say, it's a massive playground that's just really well designed for giving you loads of options to have fun in, basically.
Yeah, and it doesn't really have... I mean, it's like, not exactly like, but it's like the Just Cause for assassination stealth games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have any competition in that space. And I know with all the heavy hitters that got released this year, that people are still probably trying to get through. It might not be at the top of your list, but man, it would make a really good Christmas present to someone, or, you know, a game to definitely pick up in the new year when there's a sale.
It's such an easy game to have fun with, basically.
It's,
I think that's,
yeah, I
the...
mean, and the time, you know, the entertainment, like how many hours of entertainment you can get out for the dollar you spent, I think is a really good proposition.
Yeah, as I said, especially if you didn't pick up the first game, this is an even better value proposition. But if you were a fan of the first game, that this gives you more of that to play with, as you say, in the engine. And I think they've given additional targets and stuff as well. Yeah, so yeah, I definitely can heartily recommend it. It's one of those games where, as I said, even when you're not playing it properly, you can just mess around with your friends with it and have a lot of fun just being stupid. We spent far too much of that event dressed in the game in a pink flamingo costume, punching people and dumping their bodies in the sea. I nearly lost it. Anyway, but yeah, really fun game, definitely worth picking up. Let's drag things down a little bit, from what I've heard at least. Pac-Man, tell us about Fallout 76.
Ooh, we're going to something we love, to something at least I do not love. It's
you and everyone else with a voice online.
Oh,
at the moment.
My God. And the thing is like, I don't hate Todd Howard, and I don't hate Bethesda. I know it's sort of in vogue to sort of complain about Bethesda games and, you know, the visuals looking dated and the bugs at release. It's all sort of pre-forma at this point. But, I mean, I've loved the Fallout season since Fallout 1 way back in the 90s. Like, I've played every single game to completion. I've loved them all. And if you ask if Fallout 76 didn't exist and you ask Fallout fans what they loved, and they listed all, you know, their top 10 things that they love about Fallout games, pretty much none of those things are in Fallout 76.
Ah.
So there's, you know, losing yourself in a great story and meeting odd characters and odd bad guys and sort of, you know, traveling through this broken post-nuclear, you know, apocalyptic world and all that sort of stuff. All that's missing. Fallout 76 is a multiplayer game that feels empty, just devoid of life. There's no NPCs. Every mission and every main story point is basically you just walking across the map to a marker, listening to an audio tape, walking across the map to a different marker, listening to an audio tape. So you're just disembodied voices telling you stories and stuff that you'll forget almost instantly.
But everybody's dead, Dave. Like, they all died.
Don't compare it to Red Dwarf. That's just...
It just feels so completely, like, visually, and I know people want to go talk about engine. People talk about engine like a video game engine is a singular thing. An engine is a misnomer. It's just a term we use to describe the tool set that they're using.
Yeah, but I do feel that they've bolted so much on to what they're doing at the moment. It does feel like it's been creaking for a bit too long now, no?
Well, the reality is that no matter how you squeeze it, the game looks dated. The environments aren't ugly by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not breathtaking. They're certainly not in the top 100 games this generation. It's just adequate. You know, the animations are adequate, the visuals are adequate, the backgrounds are adequate, the bad guys look adequate, the gunplay is okay, I guess.
What's the VAT system like? Because what have they done with that? Isn't there a like active VAT kind of thing?
It's really... I know...
I can hear the pain in your voice.
I know they call it... They say VATS and everything, but it's real time. I mean, VATS is freeze time, pick a crit body part to shoot at.
It can't be real time by definition.
It's really not that. Like, they just kept that terminology in there so they didn't alienate people off the bat. But it works okay, but there's just so much stuff about it that's just like there's no skill set that you need to bring to fight the different monsters. You just backpedal and shoot them. Okay. You can kill stuff that's drastically over leveled than you just backpedaling and shooting. You know, it's just everything's tedious. You know how in the last one when they added all the crafting tools, you could get really ridiculous with customizing your guns. No, that's all gone. You can customize your guns to a point, but nowhere near what the last game allowed you to do. Not even close. To the point where even the mods you do use are pretty superfluous. Like the changes that you make, the fact that the level up system is awful. You know, and since it's semi randomized, you can't be like, I'm going to build a character that's all about, you know, being super strong or super whatever, because you don't really have control over how you'll level to level, because there's randomized perks, or I keep getting the terminology mixed up, but you get randomized cards and everything else. It's just, you know, so you don't really have control over how you level up to a certain extent. You don't really have, there's no story to have control over, engage in to begin with. There's no characters or story elements to really get attached to. Multiplayer is ridiculous because no one's going to party with you because everyone's trying to play solo. And even if you do want to party with someone, there's absolutely no benefit to doing that unless you happen to be the exact same level attacking the exact same quest at the exact same time, which is never going to happen.
Yeah, so that seems a real misstep for a multiplayer game, no?
Oh, and the worst thing is the team killing, like the dueling system in it is the fundamental design. Okay, this is how it goes. I shoot you, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't shoot back, the duel doesn't start. I can shoot you, but it only takes a sliver of your health down. So theoretically, I could just keep shooting you and keep taking slivers of your health down until eventually you die. But as long as that person doesn't shoot back, they basically can't be killed. They just don't shoot back at you. They can just pop a stim pack and keep going on their merry way. However, if they do shoot back at you, the duel starts. But that means that the person who shoots second almost always wins that fight. Because all you got to do is, pop Psycho, put your good armor on, put your best weapon on, point your gun at his head and shoot. And since you're shooting twice, that shot counts. And boom, you can kill someone in one hit. So,
well, that serves them right, doesn't it, to be fair?
But it's just like there's no benefit to shooting to being the person who shoots first. And then, of course, there's all the griefing going on. You build a platform.
How does that work? Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, you just like... it's almost like Fortnite. You build a platform into the sky. You convince some other player to go up to the top of the platform. And then you just delete the platform that you built. And he falls to his death. And once he goes in... You don't insta-die. You kind of go into sort of like crawl on the ground mode. So right. you drop him from the sky. He hits the ground, goes into stun mode, and then at that point you can kill him regardless of whether or not you're in a duel. So you just drop him from the sky, go down, and shoot him in the head. And people are doing it all the time.
Right. If you're dumb enough to climb up a tower that someone's gone, you're right, mate. Look at this tower. You should climb to the top. Okay. You kind of have it coming. I have a question.
Yeah. What's that?
So did you play Elder Scrolls Online at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when that first came out, bit of a mess, no one played it. But where it is now is, I haven't played it for about a year or so, but when I was playing it, it was fantastic. Do you think this has the potential to have a similar rocky start to Elder Scrolls Online, but over a few years, which is what it took Elder Scrolls Online, let's be fair, do you think that this has the potential to become something good?
Just the fundamental arc, like the skeleton of this game just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like, I don't like unless they're gonna like bolt in, NPCs and voice actors and all the stuff that we played every other previous Fallout game for is somehow added to this game, which would basically make it a totally different game than it is. I don't see how they can turn it around. Like, this is basically them seeing all the crafting mechanics and the success of those sort of survivalist open world games that have been popular and have started to wane in popularity by the time this came out, them trying to get cash in on that, but it lacks any of the depth or nuance that any of those have. Like the crafting system in this, without the mods that we've all gotten used to using for, base building and stuff like that in the last one, is tedious. Like, yeah, you can build something and save it as a blueprint. So, cause when you log out, everything goes back into your inventory. So when you log back in, you have to sort of replace things. But you have a very small area that you can build within, and you can build some interesting things, but nowhere near as interesting as the vast array of crazy things we were able to build in the last game.
Yeah, and you have to rebuild every time you log back in.
Well, you can save things as a blueprint, so you don't have to go back and place every individual staircase and brick.
Okay,
but even that has some pretty serious caveats on it, too.
Also, I had a question about the nuclear stuff. Like, have you been able to nuke anyone else, and how does that work?
I haven't been able to nuke anyone else, but I'm sure there's going to be some sort of show at the end for that.
Yeah, I've heard that's just, like, really involved and hard work kind of thing.
Well, it's from what I'm hearing from a couple other people, you have to put some time in to get to that point, but I don't see a lot of people putting enough time to get to that point. Like,
that is a shame.
Just...
I mean, I have to say that there's something I bounced off the last Fallout game, which didn't help this game at all, but something I never got hyped for this at all. I wasn't looking forward to it at all. I didn't expect anything from it. And like you saying that, I'm not, I'd never wish a bad game upon anyone else type of thing. But I'm like, well, I don't know what people were expecting from it kind of thing. This is exactly what it looked like to me kind of thing. I don't know.
It's not terrible. It's just not good. It's just, I mean, at the very least, if you're interested but worried wait and see. But yeah. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to hear the bad reviews, wait and see. And because so many people are going to wait and see, they won't have the incentive to sort of turn it around. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's part of the problem.
I don't, what were they thinking?
And also launching this time of year with lots of other big games out, I don't know if they thought this would challenge that, but I think this is going to be, you know.
Well, I mean, with so many other great open world games that you could be getting lost in a world, that like, why would you do this? Like, if you just want to kill the Scorched, which are basically like the equivalent of raiders in this game, like those like burnt zombie-ish things throwing at you, who don't talk, who have no interesting characteristics whatsoever, and they're everywhere. 99.9% of your fights is just killing the same thing over and over and over again, and they respawn almost instantly. Open a door and go and loot something. Walk back out that door. Now all those bad guys are back.
I seriously don't think I can take you talking about this game anymore, Pac-Man. As much as I love you and love hearing your voice, not this game. No, go away. Go away, Fallout 76. Go back. But yeah, look, I also think we need to let Rick talk at some point as well. So we'll let him in to talk about a couple of games quickly. But there's... Just so that you and me can sum up and get a bit more information out there, Mr. Pac-Man, we both had one other game that I wanted to touch on very quickly each, but we're going to try and restrict ourselves to like one or two sentences, okay? I know this is hard for me and hard for you. We're both going to... See, Rick, you judge who does the more concise job getting more information into two sentences for the next two games. So, Tetris Effect, I've mainly been playing in PSVR. Fantastic audio-visual experience. Even if you haven't got VR, pick it up. There you go. That's all I'll say for now. I'm going to play more and I'll speak about it in the future. But yeah, really good.
Well done.
Battlefield 5. Similar sort of concise information, if you can, Mr. Pac-Man.
Battlefield 5 is good.
It's got women in it.
Fixed issues with beta. Should play.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Well, although maybe wait for the rest of the modes to be made next year, no? But still.
No,
that was like oral tweeting just then.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. I mean, I love Battlefield games.
Cool. Good to hear. All right, sorry we had to skirt over that a bit, but yeah, we both had other games to cram in. And Mr. Rick, there's a couple of things I'd like to hear from you about. Let's go with your Switch picks, which I'd like to hear both about both of those games, and we might have to leave it there, I'm afraid, as we're running a bit long. But yeah, you've been playing a couple of things on the Switch.
Hyper Light Drifter, first of all, is a fantastic little indie game. It's essentially a Zelda clone, is the best way to do it. But you play as this guy called the Drifter. None of the story is told with words. It's all pictures. So when you go to the NPCs and talk to the ones that you can talk to, you just see three or four slides of colourful pictures. The combat is unforgiving. It's very much, you make a mistake, you're dead. But it's not a roguelike in the way that something like, well, a roguelike. It's not even like Dark Souls in that respect. There are checkpoints. So if you do bodge a room or a fight, then you'll just restart shortly from where you were. You don't lose anything. You don't get experience points. You have to pick up gear pieces. And when you get four gear pieces, you make a whole thing, and then you need two or three of the whole things to buy an upgrade. And you can upgrade your sword, you can upgrade your guns, you can upgrade your dash, which is this little move that you can do to get over obstacles and get past bad guys. When that gets upgraded, you can bounce projectiles off of things. It's a lot of fun. The guns are good. It reminded me a little bit, gameplay-wise, of Bloodborne, in that it had the fast active combat, a couple of hits and you're dead, but you don't have a shield. You have a gun, which can be used to take out enemies if you're close enough. It's used for switches. It can be used to kind of stagger things, not in the same way that Bloodborne is, but if something's coming for you and you shoot it, you can break its attack animation. It's a lot of fun to play. The music is by an artist called Disasterpiece, and it is just fantastic.
It's really good, yeah.
It's beautiful. It's haunting. It's very Blade Runner-ish. You know, that kind of like dark, depressing synth that's kind of beautiful? It's like that. The mood is incredible. I have absolutely no idea what the story is, and I finished it.
Well, I've heard really good things about the other versions, and I think I've interviewed one of the people who did some development on it as well, basically, previously. But it's not a game I've played myself. Like, do you think the Switch is a particularly good version and a particularly good platform for it, possibly, as well?
It's just what it is. To be honest, I don't think it gets anything extra. I mean, playing it in handheld mode, gotta love carrying a game around with you. And if you're looking for a Zelda experience, then...
Well, a lot of those you know, that sort of family of roguelike platformer, pixel art, indie games, they all just feel so good on Switch.
Mm. See, a lot of people say that. That's why I was asking Rick if he particularly preferred it on that platform.
I mean, I've started buying all those games... where before I would have bought them on PC, I've just been waiting for them to come to Switch. Like Owlboy, all the Mega Man, both of the Mega Man collections, like the original series of Mega Man X I got for Switch, Sonic Mania, Stardew Valley. If you don't have Stardew Valley and you own a Switch, what are you doing with your life? You need to buy Stardew Valley. Oh my God, it's such... I never loved Harvest Moon. Like the idea of like having my own farm and going on magical quests to benefit my farm and raising livestock in it and corn never sounded like it would be good, but Stardew Valley is like $15. Like it costs nothing. It's so
worth
it.
Could have sworn we were talking about my games.
sorry.
Bringing back to that, how much was Hyperlife Drifter, Rick?
I have no idea off the top of my head. I'll have to check.
See, that was a way to bring it back to the conversation, and you didn't have the answer ready.
Give me a second I'll find out.
See, Pac-Man could have been talking all this time.
The thing is like all the games for the Switch, like all those indie games, the best thing about it is, unlike the heavy hitter Switch games, those go on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the third-party indie games will have gone on sale. And sometimes they've gone on sale for a good amount. Like, I've seen 20, 25, 30% off some of this stuff over the last year. So you might not be able to get Mario Kart for 50% off, but you can probably get most of the good indies for keep an eye out this holiday season.
That's why my PS4 is essentially an indie machine.
Yeah.
Because the discounts you get on it are amazing. And it's the same... like you said, for the Switch, those are the games that get the discounts. And to be honest, a lot of the time, they're the games that are worth playing.
I play more indie games on my Switch than anything else, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Still playing through Golf Story.
I don't understand why Octopath Traveler is $80 here, though.
Because Nintendo hates you.
But that $80 for that, like, I really want it.
It's $10
but...
per character,
yeah,
is what
I was
it is.
Say, at least that's like, on what? Theme. Like, over here, it's just 60 quid. Like, that means nothing. It's just really expensive. Did you ever find out the price there, Rick, or not?
You told me not to look for it.
No, I didn't. Anyway, right.
I went, I'm going to look for it. And you went, no, it's fine because Pac-Man could have spoke for it.
That's not what I said at all. And it's
that
recorded,
is exactly
so
what you said.
We have a
and
recording.
We've got the bloody thing.
Good. Okay. Rick, also tell us about Cosmic Star Heroine, which is the other game you've been playing on the Switch as well.
Cosmic Star Heroine is fantastic again. It's by Z-Boyd Games, who did the Penny Arcade RPG games, Cthulhu Saves the World, on those old indie RPGs from like 8 years ago. This is such a throwback to classic Square Enix RPGs, or like particularly Chrono Trigger.
The title sounds like it's a classic old JRPG, you know?
Yeah, and... visually, it looks very Chrono Trigger. The characters kind of look like it, but instead of being all over time, you're going all over space to different planets and things. You find your teammates. As you're running around, they're running around behind you. The graphics are just really nice, like 16-bit pixel art. Absolutely gorgeous. But the battle system is super interesting. So... each one of your moves or your abilities can only be used once in a fight until you guard. And then when you guard, it resets your abilities. So there's a level of strategy to a lot of the fights because you have to work out when to use things, when to save things, when to guard. You also have, I can't remember the term for it, but you got, I think, style points. Which is kind of like a limit break from Final Fantasy VII for the Final Fantasy fans. So each time it's your round, you get an extra point. And then when you get like 3 or 4 points, or when it maxes out, your attack does a lot more damage, which again comes into the strategy of when do you essentially reload your abilities. Because you could be like, well, I've got 3 styles now, I need one more, and then, oh, that attack that I want isn't there. Right, I'm going to guard from this attack, so I'm not going to damage the enemy now, I'm going to wait, but then I'm going to do more damage on the next turn.
But does that become sort of time management-y, or does it still feel tactical and strategic enough?
Oh, it's very tactical and strategic enough. What's nice as well is when you lose a fight, you can either go back to your save or just retry the fight immediately.
Oh, okay, that's quite cool.
The way the items and stuff work in it as well was super interesting, is you only get one item. So you'll get one potion, for example, and that's it. And you can only use it once in a fight, but that doesn't reload. It reloads every fight.
Right.
So all of your items are reloadable once a fight, and it's the same with programs, which are things that come with your weapons and armor. So certain weapons and armor that you pick up will have a special ability called a program, and that's only used once per battle. And depending on how you use your characters and the combinations that you get, it's a fantastic little game and just a really nice throwback. I don't think the story's all that good, to be honest. I'm not playing it for the story. I'm playing it because I think the exploration's cool. I think the level design and the world design's cool. The characters are nice. The combat system's awesome.
Yeah, if you're going to have one thing let you down in that combination of things, that would be the one that this type of game would get away with most, kind of thing, no?
Oh, 100%. That's what I'd rather have in a game, though. I'd rather have a game that plays like a dream, that isn't that interesting story-wise, because it's the mechanics that keep me coming back. I mean, if you're playing a game that's got a great story but plays like garbage, you're like it feels like a drag. This doesn't feel like a drag.
Cool. Well, yep, that definitely sounds of interest. Maybe a JRPG is a bit too much for me, but I might have more time for it if I possibly get it on the Switch as well. That does make life a bit easier in that thing.
I think you'd have a lot of fun with it, because the combat system, it's not just the case of pick the strongest attack and hit. You've really got to think. It's really good.
Cool.
Got to use your noodle.
Well, that does sound good. Well, we've had a couple of, well, we've had a down, but generally a few ups this week in terms of games we were talking about. That's always good. And yeah, it's been a good few weeks for games, continues to be strong. Game news is easing up a bit at this time of year, but the actual games themselves are really hitting home. So that is good. That is good. Well, I think we better pretty much call that a day. As per normal, when I'm hosting the show, I've done a really lazy job of not rounding out the shout-outs and stuff. So please excuse me if you have commented to us this week or if there's been any questions. We'll pick all those up next week. Thank you very much for anyone that has been listening and has been commenting. We will come back to that next week, as we said. I will give a very quick reminder that this week's Tabletop Tuesday is indeed going ahead as per normal. I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to be there. I still might be a bit ill and I don't want to infect people so they can't come along to the next week. But the game will be the game that we were talking about last week as well, because I was ill, didn't get to take that long. The Ricks Must Be Crazy, a Rick and Morty special card game. Will be the game that you can come along and play and win on the evening. More details are up on bigredbarrel.com in the top left-hand corner, or search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com and join our group there. But if you come along and play the game in the evening and joining us in the loading bar in Dalston, then you can win yourself a copy of the game just by playing it that evening. Other than that, thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. I thought it would be a bit difficult. Corralling us, doing something with us to kind of make sure we kind of get in on time. We're only a little bit over time, so I think we should keep Coleman relatively happy, you know, as happy as he can be when he's having to listen to our nonsense for this long, but still. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. Thank you very much, Mr. Pac-Man, for joining us from all the way over in Canada. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
It's always good to be a guest on the show. It's always a pleasure and an honor, and I look forward to doing it again next time.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you again on quite so soon. We won't leave it from E3 to Christmas kind of gap to get you on another podcast. And Rick, thank you very much for joining me. You know, Pac-Man came all the way from Canada and you came from just over the road, but nevertheless, you still, you know, were equally valued and it was great to have you along. And yeah, I hopefully made for a great show for everyone to listen to, but thank you for joining us, Rick.
I didn't really say a lot, did I?
I'm sorry. It's been a while since I podcasted.
Yeah, it's mine and Pac-Man's fault.
It is most certainly your fault. I had lots of interesting opinions, really funny jokes. You spoke over all of it.
We left the fans wanting more of you, though, Rick, you see?
Well, if they want more, then they can come over to Comics Inc., can't they? And listen to my dulcet tones on Comics Inc.
Exactly, that's where people
can pick up. What an amazing setup and segue that was.
Yeah, and all your Strange Play loveliness on...
Yeah, you can come over and find me on YouTube at Strange Play.
On the YouTubes. Yeah.
And Twitter at StrangePlayUK, where swear a lot.
Yeah, do news and other such lovely things that we don't do over here. So go check that out on Rick's channel.
Take the out of Dave Perry.
But yeah, cool. But yeah, as I said, thank you very much for both of you fine gentlemen for joining us. Rick, I understand it's difficult to get in with me and Pac-Man, but I like the combination of the three of us. I think we need to massage and practice how our technique of the three of us working together, because I think it would be a good combo generally in the future. Just need to get you used to barging in between us, because I understand that's a difficult
polite.
Thing to
I'm
do.
I'm a good boy. I was taught manners as a child.
Yeah, and I'm savage. I'm coming in from the wild. It's been almost a year and a half since I podcasted. I just want to hear myself recorded again.
Well, it was definitely good to give us a chance to record with you, Pac-Man. I'm very grateful to do so. So yeah, as I said, we'll have you again soon, sometime sooner than the last time. But yeah, cool. Thank you very much for joining us. Without further ado, I will get us out of here. Yeah, that has been show, and I don't think I mentioned this at the top of the show after fussing about it, but that has been episode 318 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you all next week. Thank you. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Stay frosty.
See you all next week on an audio podcast where no one can see anyone. Brilliant. Great sign off. Well done. Use that one every week. Idiot.
3 years are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.